In our tradition, we learn that we serve the Lord in 9 ways. One is we hear and we sing and we remember. Service is not just when we do something with our hands and our legs. Service or seva has another meaning than just doing things in service. It means to come close, to establish a close relationship. So shravanam, kirtanam and smaranam, or hearing, chanting and remembering, is also a devotional service. I will try to serve you, the best of Vaishnavas, by talking about Krishna or Nrisimhadev and his dear devotee Prahlad. And I request you to serve Krishna by listening and letting what is what you hear enter into your heart. You might think, but Sachidananda Swami is very unqualified. I will not give you my attention. And you are certainly right. I would like to say, even ordinary well water, which is bathing the Shailagram Shila, becomes Charanamrita, worshipped by devotees. So my ordinary broken English, because it is going over the subject of Prahlad and Nrisimhadev, becomes something which is hopefully of use for you. Even an uncultured man can light a fire and then the fire acts. So even someone as poor in devotional qualifications as myself can try to speak about the Bhagavad Purana, the great story about the Lord and his devotees, and it can be accepted by Vaishnavas like you. This particular katha is described by Baladev Vidyabhushana to be like moonlight which makes the lilies of the devotee's heart blossom. When the moon goes up in the night, the rays will come to the night blooming lilies and unfold them. So if this katha is spoken in the night of the Kali Yuga, then our hearts can open. Let me start by telling you about the best of the devotees, Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is Govinda Vibrambita, means always embraced by Lord Govinda. And he was born by the Krishna, under the Krishna Graha, the star of Lord Krishna, which influenced him, like normal people are influenced by Rahu or Ketu or Jupiter, if they are in their good faces. Prahlad was always influenced by Lord Krishna. When his teachers were busy elsewhere with household work, the children in the school, Prahlad's friends, would seize the opportunity and call him to play with them. But Prahlad was not interested in play. He said, "Let us not waste the human form of life. In childhood, we wasted with play. in when we are a little older, the sense gratification in an old age with lamentation that we have wasted our life. Instead, let us hear about Hari. Do you know anything about Lord Hari? I will try to explain something. And he told them about the pastimes of the Lord, and in the end requested them to join him in kirtan. The children sat around Prahlad and were amazed and asked him, "From where do you know these things?" And he said, "From Narada Muni, who taught me when I was still in the womb of my mother." And he explained to them that the Devatas wanted to kill him, because when they saw that his mother was pregnant with the seed of Hiranyakashipu, they assumed that he would be much more dangerous than the greatest of demons. They wanted to kill him before he... They wanted to wait until he came out of the womb, then not in the womb. Then Narada Muni stopped them and said, "He's the greatest of all devotees. Leave him." And he took my mother and me, who was still under the heart of my mother, into the ashram, where he taught us the Bhagavatam. And in this way I know everything. Then he said something which is very important for the manifestation of Leela. He said, "Children of the demons, the daityas, do you know one thing? It is so difficult to go to hell with material activities. You have to endeavor so hard, but it's so easy to please the Lord Anshuta. For he is the self of all beings, and he's the ever-present reality in this world." And then he said, "You can meditate about Krishna in two ways. One is that he is in the heart of all living entities." He will preach this point later to his father also. "And the other is, you can see the Lord in your immediate surrounding, because he's everywhere." My dear devotees and my dear skeptics, this is how you can train yourself in Krishna consciousness. Don't make a distinction between enemies and friends. See everyone as a part of Krishna and Krishna within them. "Pay your obeisances even to a donkey," says Krishna to Uddhava, "because you can see me in the donkey. And if your friends should laugh about you that you pay your obeisances to the donkey, don't give a cent of the ridicule. What is it? The laughter. Ridicule. The word. Understand, the Lord is everywhere in the heart of all beings. And understand, when you move out and you see the mountains, you can see them as Krishna. When you see the rivers, you see them as the veins of Krishna. See Krishna everywhere, and then your life will be perfect." The friends of Prahlad were astonished, but they felt, "He's our friend, let us do like him." And they joined him in the kirtan. Soon, the teachers discovered Prahlad Maharaj's treacherous, means betrayal. He didn't learn at the school all these mundane subjects, but he took the school as a preaching opportunity. And they brought him to Hiranyakashipu and told him everything. Hiranyakashipu is now uncontrollably angry. He was increasingly worried. You must know, Hiranyakashipu had conquered the whole universe, so much so that each morning the Devatas came and sang his praises. Hiranyakashipu, oh, glorious, glory to you. Glory, glory to Hiranyakashipu. Much better, they say. He was such a controller that he reversed the universal order. Whereas it is natural that pious activity bring good karma and eventually elevate someone to the heavenly planets, and sinful life brings one to the lower planets for punishment, Hiranyakashipu was about to reverse this so that the sin you would get to heaven and the pious activity to hell. Oh, very strong person. He subjugated all the planets who used their influence and said no longer influence on me. And he asked his Stapatis to carve a pillar at the entry of his palace, which was something like, we call it in German, die Siegessäule, the victory pillar, where he carved pictures of stone of all the emperors he had defeated, all the planets he had defeated, everyone who bowed down to him. There was only one picture which was not, or one face which was not on that pillar, but we come to this a little later. So, when he had found out that Prahlad Maharaj resented his influence, he had found out that he was preaching at Krishna consciousness, and he had therefore begun a series of assassination attempts. Yes, father turned against the son. He threw him into a pit of snakes to have the poisonous snakes kill him. He brought him to elephants who were made furious and came in a stampede, it's called, threatening to pound Prahlad Maharaj. He had eventually, in utter frustration, taken Prahlad and thrown him from the cliff into the ocean, and then threw a whole mountain on top of him that he wouldn't come out again. But no matter what he tried, Prahlad survived. So now again, his son was reported to be the verses, to do the verses of all things, to talk about the enemy, Lord Vishnu, in the school. And he asked Prahlad Maharaj, with increasing, it was a mixture of horror, anxiety, and fury. From where do you get your strengths? Prahlad Maharaj answered, Father, I get my strengths from the same source where you are getting your strengths from. You believe in a God. Where is your God? Father, he's everywhere. I'm giving lectures about this in the school. If he is everywhere, then he must also be in the pillar. Every bear includes the pillar, right? And he pointed to his darling pillar, which showed him by the different carvings that he was the master, that he was God. Is he in the pillar? At that moment, Pilate looked on the pillar and he saw the smiling face of the Lord. He said, yes, very much so. And I will not speak like Hiranyakashipu, because that will come later. Hiranyakashipu spoke very slowly as he picked up his sword. Then, let him protect you now, as I will make an end to your foolish talk. And as he was raising his sword, there was a discomforting sound. Don't be afraid, it will become much intense in a moment. There was a sound which no one had heard before from that pillar. Kashipu became a little bit startled. What's that sound? But he took his sword again. There is no other God than me. And as he was taking his sword, the most wonderful Leela happened. But before we tell about it, we need to sing a little bit to purify our heart, so that we can see the Lord also everywhere. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
I'm sorry.
Devotee Prahlad, that he is present in all things. The Lord appeared from a pillar in the assembly hall, taking on an extraordinary form that was neither man nor animal. Hiranyakashipu couldn't believe his eyes. He had never seen such a being. Half lion, then dressed in something, but there were legs, and that quality of piercing eyes, and the form grew and grew before his eyes. He said, "What is this?" Hiranyakashipu studied the truly awesome form of Lord Nrisimhadev that towered above him, very tall, like a tower. The Lord's fierce eyes glowed like molten gold and dug into his own gaze. His shining mane made his face appear even larger. You know, when someone has a lot, has some hair, he looks bigger than he is. So this is a large mane. His razor-tipped tongue moved like a dueling sword between his terrible teeth, and his enormous mouth had a frown. His ears stood erect. His striking nose and open mouth appeared like mountain caves. His gaping jaws were terrifying. His body touched the sky. His neck was short and stout. His chest was broad and his waist was slim. When I was in South Africa, I did something foolish. I went for sightseeing into the steppe. I wanted to see a live lion, and I wanted to provoke him to see his strengths. So I got a Mercedes Benz a safe car, we hear. Some adventurous driver. And we went into the lion reservoir. First, one door had to be opened. We went in. Because there was a door before us, which was still closed. Then they closed the door behind us. They said, don't provoke the lions. Don't roll down your window because they will smell you. Don't make any sound. Just be meek and humble, not like a German tourist. So we said, no problem, no problem. Then the second door opened and we went into the home of the lion and we saw nothing. There was no lion. And thought, I didn't come for this. Nothing. And I rolled down the window, took a pair of cartons and made some sound. Nothing. We continued to drive. I said, we will get our adventure, don't worry, Bruce. And then we came by a lion group.
Pride.
A lion pride. Thank you. Pride means pride, but it means also a group. A group of lions. So we went by, and they were lazy. So come on, boys, this is not. This is an encounter. So I again rolled down the window, and then ring, and that was my biggest mistake in this life. One male lion got up, signaled to a female lion, and she knew what to do. She came to the left side of our Mercedes-Benz, and he came to the right side. And they started to, you know, Mercedes-Benz has good, what is it called?
Springs.
Suspensions. So they really rocked the boat. They rocked the car. And I could see, being just next to the male lion, he was on my side. When I looked into his eyes, there was no doubt that we would be his food. It was the most piercing eyes I had ever seen. He was not metal, like a young devotee on Satkatan, you know. Should I stay or should I go? No, he was sure he would get at us. And I knew from the movements of the orchestrated way he had done it before. So at that time, you know, see this volcanic strength just before its cruel eruption, and which would bring the termination of my little life. Just at that moment, I began to sing Namaste. And I told the driver, I'm sorry. If I don't have the chance to say sorry for you in 5 minutes, I'm sorry for all my mistakes. If you survive this, tell the devotees I'm sorry that they told me to tolerate such a member. So I'm too long. I'm a fool. I know it now. We chanted Namaste Narasimha. Then he said to our driver, if you have ever put your foot on the acceleration, this is the time to do it. And we're like, we were some sad, and the lions were also doing their part to not let us go. But then some force took that car and just ripped it out of the sand, and we were running it. Already the guards were there with their guns. I said, shoot! Because they were pursuing us. What I learned later is, what do you do when the lion pride is angry? That's not possible. So, Lord Narsingadev, you must now know something. He is not an ordinary lion who eats meat and passes from the desert, from the South African the shepherd, we say. He is a divine lion. This is explained by actually Narada Muni is the teller here. The hair on the Narsingha's body was white like the rays of the moon. His 100 arms reached like an army in all directions, and his nails were like weapons. No one could even come close to him as he rooted the Daitya and Danava demons with an array of exceptional weapons. You can see in our Narsingadev in Mayapur, some amazing weapons are there. Nooses, little axes. But he had hundreds of arms with amazing weapons in them. So Lord, this Hiranyakashipu could see this. He was intelligent. And he shouted, "This is Hari! He's probably planning to kill me with his great elusive power." This is the foolish magician. "But of what use are such plans?" And speaking like this, the elephant among demons let out a cry and attacked Narsingha with his club weapon. His brother had made the mistake to attack another form of the Lord Varaha, with his club weapon. But the Lord just kicked this weapon, took this weapon, and then he said, and he gave him back this weapon. He had actually tried a second time. The Lord just said, took it and said, Then he threw down the weapon, the club, and said, "Pick it up." But Hiranyaksha was too proud to pick up his weapon. He said he attacked the Lord in a different way. So Hiranyakashipu was also practiced the art of club fighting. Then, like a moth flying into a fire, Hiranyakashipu became invisible because of Narsingha's brilliance. He was so full of light. This is not surprising after all, because the Lord is famous for swallowing the darkness at the beginning of creation by his own radiance. It is even said by Akrura that the brilliance from the lotus toenails of the Lord dispels the darkness of the heart, in the heart of the meditating devotee. If you feel a darkness, my dear devotees, close your eyes and meditate about the light coming from the toenails of the Lord within your heart, and your darkness will go by this sweet meditation. Then the mighty demon rushed at Narsingha with great speed. But the Lord caught the demon along with his club. Then everyone thought, good. But then Lord Narsingadev let the demon have his way. He wriggled on his left and jumped down from the lap, and he continued to fight. And all the demons, all the demon gods shouted, kill him now, don't wait! The darkness is coming and his strength will increase. But Lord Nrsimhadev played with the demon like a powerful cat plays with a mouse before it does the killing strike. Then, finally, Hiranyakashipu rose in the sky, flying. He took his sword and then he came down on Lord Nrsimhadev with his sword. He gathered momentum. And when he came to Lord Nrsimhadev, Lord Nrsimhadev roared, took his hand, and just pushed him away like he would do an annoying mosquito. Then, as the dusk was becoming more dark, Nrsimhadev said, I will not stop this game now. And he pounced on Lord Hiranyaksha. He took him on his lap. He took his nails, which can cut through stones, and he brought them to the abdomen. And at that time, Hiranyakashipu, who tried to again use his trick to move his body and move out of the hold of Nrsimhadev, could see that there was superior strength. And as his eyes locked into the eyes of Nrsimhadev, who was letting out a cry which made the whole universe shudder, he looked in the eyes of Nrsimhadev, and at that time, when he had the face-to-face darshan, close darshan, Nrsimhadev did not hesitate any longer. He just ripped him apart. And what he did is, as far as aesthetics, negotiable. He took the intestines out of the belly of Hiranyaksha and decorated himself as if this was a garland. But because the Lord had touched the body and the intestines, it became beautiful. Whatever the Lord touches, even if he touches our hearts, it will become beautiful. So it was really aesthetic all of a sudden. Very nice, very beautiful. By this, Lord Nrsimhadev wanted to give a sign to posterity, to all the people who came after him. Don't mess around with my devotee. Otherwise, I will become very angry on you. This is very, very, very nice. And so at the entrance to the palace, Hari threw Hiranyakashipu upon his lap and easily tore him apart with his nails, as Garuda kills a most poisonous serpent. Yes, the light is welcome at this moment. Lord Nrsimhadev ki, slaying the demon Hiranyakashipu ki, protecting his devotee Prahlad ki, and giving liberation to Hiranyakashipu without any partiality ki. Hare Krishna. I tried my best. If you want to know from where I was reading or taking inspiration, I took it from a book which my neighbor has produced. It's called the Bhagavad Purana Selected Readings. It's written by Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj and Radhika Raman Prabhus. And it is a flowing translation. That is, one sentence flows into the other, one verse into the other.
It's our own translation from the Sanskrit.
Yeah, it's the own translations of these Vaishnava scholars from Sanskrit, and it's really wonderful. You have the whole 12th canto and other interesting information in one book. You have to order it. It's really beautiful. It is my constant travel associate. Hare Krishna. With this, I will turn over to Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Should we open a window or two for some oxygen? Sri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jai Jai Nrisimha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vrinda Sri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jai Jai Nrisimha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vrinda Sri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jai Jai Nrisimha Pradesha Jaya Bhagna Mukha Bhagna Vrinda Shri Nisimha Jaya Nisimha Jaya Jaya Nisimha Pradesha Jaya Bhagna Mukha Bhagna Vrinda Shri Nisimha Jaya Nisimha Jaya Jaya Nisimha Pradesha Jaya Bhagna Mukha Bhagna Today is the disappearance day of Hiranyakashipu. Simultaneously and wonderfully, it's also the appearance day of Sri Nrisimhadev. Which are we more happy about? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that we should appreciate Hiranyakashipu, because if it weren't for Hiranyakashipu, there would be no Nrisimhadev. There would be no need for him to appear. We all know that Hiranyakashipu is previously one of the two guards of Vaikuntha. I never know which one, whether it's Jai or Vijay. Does anyone know?
Jai.
Jai, okay. Jai.
Jai
Hiranyakashipu. And we know the circumstance under which he and his counterpart, Vijay, ended up coming into this world. There was a misunderstanding. We could say the misunderstanding was based on a false perception. The four Kumaras appearing to be small boys, naked, they were Digambara, dressed by the directions. And they had come all the way through the first six gates of Vaikuntha without any hindrance. And now coming to the final gate of Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay say, no, no, you cannot go further. Dress like that.
They have a dress code.
Huh?
They have a dress code.
Yes, we have a dress code in Vaikuntha. Although Srila Prabhupada says that small children everywhere, they have this sense of being able to go anywhere freely. And that was the spirit of the four Kumaras, that they were coming to Vaikuntha. Not exactly as tourists, not to arouse the wrath of angry lions, but rather to see the Lord. As it happens, the Lord reciprocates their desire. And there's a moment when they first meet the Lord that they are overwhelmed. And how is it that they become overwhelmed? By seeing and smelling the tulsi leaves on the lotus feet of the Lord. It transforms them. From being the Brahmavadis that they had grown up to be to that time, to becoming devotees, devoted to the Lord, just by smelling the tulsi leaves. Wouldn't it be nice if we would have such experience one time, just smelling the tulsi leaves?
Ah, yes, Krishna, I am yours.
This is their experience. But just at this time, because of the interruption by these two guards who think they know better, there is some misunderstanding, and in the course of this misunderstanding there is some cursing. And as we know, the curse is that these two guards will have to get some schooling. They have to, they'll have to get some, what is it called? On the job training. What do you call it when there's some review training in the profession? They have to top up their education. Professional experiential
development.
Yes, development. So they needed to get a little more training to be qualified, to be fully qualified. And so they are sent to this world. And unlike Jadabharata, for example, who makes a mistake and then when he leaves his body, what happens? He takes birth as a deer. In that condition, he is able to remember his previous life. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha seem to have absolutely no memory of their lives in Vaikuntha. Quite the contrary. They seem to become the worst of demons. And of course we know this will not be, this one life will not be the only education. This will not be the only course they'll take. They'll have a second course, they'll have a third course, before they'll finally get it, that they are indeed servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom they will finally recognize in their third births. A few months ago I was in Mayapur. It was it was just around the time that the GBC meetings were beginning, and this is a time when many, many devotees are gathering in Mayapur. And so at this time I discovered one use I always wondered, what is the use of this sannyas danda? I discovered a use for it. It helps you to get through the dense crowd of devotees who all want to see Nrsimhadev in the temple. I found with this danda I could actually make my way right up to the very front. So one morning at the time of Mangalarti, I was standing before Lord Nrsimhadev. Nrsimhadev in Mayapur is a different form from our Nrsimhadev here. In Mayapur, he's called Stala Nrsimha. Stala means stamba, means column, sometimes stamba Nrsimha. And he has how many? 6, 8, 10 arms in that form. But his main hands, you can say, are in this position, like this. And he has a, depending how you interpret, depending whether you are feeling the predominance of the Hiranyakashipu nature within, you may feel that his mouth is the mouth of destruction, or if you are feeling more the Prahlad nature predominating in your heart, then you will see the big smile of Nrsimhadev with a lot of teeth. So in this form, Nrsimhadev has just come out of the pillar and he is saying, "Where is that rascal?" He is really angry. He is more angry than when he's actually killing Hiranyakashipu. Could you imagine such an anger? That anger he is showing in Mayapur. It's said that the devotees decided to install Nrsimhadev in Mayapur because there was occasionally some trouble. Some people were coming from outside. They were attacking the devotees, attacking the temple. So they installed Nrsimhadev. Once Nrsimhadev was installed, never again has there been any problem. But I wanted to say, I was standing in front of Nrsimhadev, and just next to me was a very, very, one of the sweetest devotees I know, Amiyavilasa Swami. He's very short. He has a moon-like face. He always smiles. And he always chants. And we were standing and having darshan, and then he kind of turned to me and smiled. And he said, "Prabhupada said that there was one Hiranyakashipu, but then he said, now there are so many Hiranyakashipus." And he smiled. And I kind of, yeah. And meanwhile, the kirtan is going on. And then he turned to me again and he said, "There was one Prahlad Maharaj, but now there are many Prahlad Maharajas." And he smiled, and it was so sweet. And I thought, yes, this is the case. Hiranyakashipu, we want to remember the whole trajectory of his life or lives in order to put everything in perspective. And by this we can appreciate, I would say, Prahlad's mood. We don't read, it's not explicit, we don't see that Prahlad knows the history of his father. But that's not necessary, because to the vision of Prahlad, this is not the point. The point is, as Maharaj was saying, to see that every living being, that the Lord is present with every living being. And that is his teaching, which he wants to impart, which he hears from Narada, and he wants to impart it to his father, Hiranyakashipu. But his father has a hearing problem. And so, despite Prahlad's attempts to school him, he gives him lots of good advice, including that it would be best if he would give everything up and go to the forest. He also advises him about the 9 processes of devotional service. And he advises him about, there's 3 kind of points that he makes, these 2. And then he also advises him that the power which you have and the power that I have are both coming from the same source. Hiranyakashipu is not yet ready to hear this good advice. Now, I promised yesterday morning that I would have a surprise for you. So, I have something here which I want to share with you. I hope our senior devotees will tolerate my attempts. All of the devotees will tolerate my attempts to portray this pastime in a slightly different way. Let us consider like this, that the Lord's pastimes are unlimited. And if they are unlimited, then there are many possibilities of how the Lord and his devotees might reveal those pastimes. So, I hope this will be entertaining for you and perhaps give also a little different perspective. Something I've written just a couple of days ago, which is called Mr. Pillow on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Do you know who is Oprah Winfrey? For someone who does not know, she's a talk show star in America, quite popular. And she invites all kinds of personalities onto her show to interview, to talk. Hiranyakashipu, Kashipu means cushion or pillow. So Mr. Pillow on the Oprah Winfrey Show. All right. So first I set the scene. It goes like this. I'll try not to speak too fast for the translators. Mr. Pillow swaggers onto the studio stage as the crowd cheers, whoops, boos, whistles, and shouts. He is dressed like King Louis XVI, with frills and fluffy sleeves and heavy gold jewelry. Oprah Winfrey, standing, welcomes him with a somewhat surprised smile and a handshake. Her eyes bulge as he squeezes her hand. He releases her hand. She shakes it out, trying to maintain a smile. They sit down on an L-shaped couch. Mr. Pillow glares at the audience and at Oprah. The crowd noise subsides. Then Oprah Winfrey says, "So, Mr. Pillow, Mr. Gold Pillow, we're so glad you could take the time out from your busy schedule to come on our show. I understand you're now managing the whole universe. That must keep you quite occupied. Mr. Pillow says, yes, yes, busy indeed. But no problem. My pleasure. I'm always happy to meet my subjects in the media. It actually makes my work easier to remind everyone who is the boss. Oprah says, right, so I hope you don't mind if I ask you some questions. People are very anxious. I mean, anxious to find out more about you, since everyone hears so many rumors. Mr. Pillow says, rumors, rumors, it's all your fault. You media people, all rumor mongers, don't care a bit for the truth, just stirring people up, confusing them. The truth is, as I have said to the media repeatedly. Oprah, right. So, this will be an opportunity to clear things up. Great. So, my first question has to do with child abuse. People say that you and your oldest son, Prahlad, haven't been getting along very well. And that you've been, shall we say, making quite some trouble for him. Mr. Pillow laughs heartily. With a red face and bulging neck, enraged, he says, lies! Lies! All lies! Then he stretches out his hands and he cracks his knuckles. And then softly he says, my son, my dear boy, he's so sweet, so charming, so cute. And he says such cute things. One time, you know, I had him sitting on my lap and I asked him, what's the best thing he had learned in school that day? You know what he said? Do you know what he said? It was so cute. He didn't directly answer me at all. Instead, he said, my dear father, O best of the demons. Demons! Demons. He said, I think the best would be for you to give up everything and go to the forest and meditate. That boy can be so cute. Such a joker, you know. Bright boy. One day, he'll, you know, he's a chip off the old block. He'll follow in his dad's footsteps one day. I don't know what he will do to me. Oprah says, I see, so you weren't angry with him when he said that about you retiring to the forest. Mr. Pillow says, angry? Why should I be angry? It was actually a good idea. I've often thought like that. Why am I going to all this trouble for the welfare of the world? Why not just give it all up and go to the forest and live peacefully, in harmony with nature? I could be a good, humble environmentalist, reducing my carbon footprint to zero. Okay. I was a bit worried when my son said that because I didn't realize at first that he was just joking. Yeah, so when he said that, I called in his teachers just to make clear to them what's their job. He's a good boy. He just gets confused sometimes. He starts talking some nonsense about Vishnu. as if he knows anything about Vishnu. If anyone knows anything about Vishnu, it's I, since it is I whose brother was cruelly and unjustly killed by Vishnu. Okra says, well, so, tell me, Mr. Pillow, it seems that after all these years, you still haven't come to terms with your brother's death. People say, Mr. Pillow, all lies! I'm completely at peace on this subject. As I counseled my lamenting relatives after his sudden and meaningless death at the hands of that wild beast, I don't even want to say his name. As I counseled my relatives, we must understand and accept the inevitability of death, that we are eternal spiritual beings, so there is nothing to lament. The relatives were all very touched by my preaching, I must say. Okra says, oh, I see. So, then later, when you went to the wilderness and performed austerities, eventually forcing Lord Brahma to benedict you with indestructibility in all imaginable circumstances, that was because you, Mr. Pillow, that was because someone has to take the burden of setting things right in the world, and this can't be done properly if you are vulnerable to death, since there will be lots of opposition, obviously. One cannot be sentimental. Sometimes heads must roll. It's as simple as that. To maintain law and order, someone is bound to get hurt. Oprah, you seem to have a point there. I can see you're a deep thinker. Mr. Pillow, yes, absolutely, absolutely. I'm such a deep thinker. I think of everything. One has to plan everything with a cool head. I keep a cool head. Oprah says, I see, yes, quite cool head. She winks to the audience. Now, tell me, Mr. Pillow, some people say that you perfectly fit Krishna's description of the demonic mentality that he provides in his Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16. Would you say this is a fair assessment of your character? Mr. Pillow, madam, you have to understand, people completely misread the Gita. Actually, the whole Gita is an appropriate and accurate glorification of myself. Everyone in the audience hoots and howls, and Mr. Pillow holds up his hands. It's all right, that's all right. Then he says, let me explain. Shall I explain? And Oprah says, oh, yes, Mr. Pillow, please do. We're all ears. And Mr. Pillow says, you see, there's a passage in the 16th chapter in which Krishna is telling my pastimes. People think he is speaking in parody, but actually he is saying accurately what it is that I do. I say, and he has accurately quoted me, quote, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. So these are just facts. This is what's actually happening. It's so obvious. And then I say, and he quotes accurately, he is my enemy and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. Oprah says, okay, look, what you're saying is that this all does apply to you. So you are confirming what people say, that this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, is describing you. Mr. Pillow, absolutely, including the first three verses of chapter 16. See, this is what people get wrong. All those daiti sampat, divine qualities, listed in these first three verses, they're all about me. Yes, and I will prove it. Oprah says, okay, well, we don't have a lot of time, but go ahead briefly. Mr. Pillow says, first quality is fearlessness. Have you ever seen me afraid? Everyone is afraid of me. That's how I'm fearless. I make everyone afraid of me. Except that rascal son of mine, Prahlad. He's not showing any fear of me, but I'm working on him. Next quality. Purification of one's existence. Now, everyone knows I spent countless years doing extreme austerity, standing on one leg, my body transformed into an anthill. You try that and see how far you get, huh? So yes, whole existence purified, so much so that Brahma himself came and offered respects. Then, next quality, cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Like I said, when my brother was killed, I counseled my relatives on spiritual knowledge. Yes, we get together once a week for nice satsanga and bhajan, in which the family members all hear about spiritual knowledge and about my glories. Oprah, oh, how charming, Mr. Pillow. You get together with your family. And is that when you torture your son, Prahlad? Mr. Pillow, no, I don't torture my son. He tortures me. He is always going on and on about this Vishnu. Look, there is no point in bringing this up again. You see how he tortures me. He says things like, I get my power from the same source. You get your power. He speaks in such riddles like this. I can't even understand what he's saying. When he says these things, it's like he's taunting me. I want to think he is joking. But no, he's actually taunting me. It's so painful. I get this sharp pain in my gut, in my stomach. It gets worse and worse. I've been to so many doctors, but they can't find anything wrong. But it becomes unbearable. And I have such nightmares, especially if I fall asleep early during twilight. Sometimes I'm just so tired, it happens. This monster comes roaring like a cosmic lion. He lifts me up and stretches me out on his lap, and then he digs his claws into my belly and draws my intestines out. And then, my son, my dear, dear son, he just stands there. He doesn't even try to defend me from this monster. Mr. Pillow, no! 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 And he falls over onto the floor of the studio set. And Oprah Winfrey says, jumping up, confused, trying to keep a smile. Mr. Pillow, please, wake up. Please, calm down. It's okay. We didn't mean to upset you like this. We will take a break now, and we'll give you some time to compose yourself. Then we will continue in a very civil conversation. You see, we all just want to understand you better, that's all. Mr. Pillow is lifted up by some stage hands and carried off stage. Then, a young boy dressed in school uniform walks onto the stage and stands near Oprah, facing the audience with joined palms. And he says, "I'm so sorry if my father created a disturbance on your show." You see, he really wanted to be a good man, but he suffered from great delusion. I tried to help him understand, and sometimes I thought he started to hear me. You see, my father, Mr. Pillow, was greatly inquisitive. He always wanted to know, where is he? Where is this Vishnu? He was not an atheist. He was searching for God, wanting to find him. His only fault was that he could not control his mind, which became his greatest enemy. I don't think he will be coming back to your show after the break. But no worries. He is now again with his brother, and they are happily keeping guard at the gate of Vaikuntha, the eternal television studio, where Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, is the eternal star attraction in his ever new, ever fresh pastimes with his best performers, his friends. There in Vaikuntha is no delusion, only clear and uplifting vision of truth in all its glory. In all his glory, the supremely glorious Supreme Person. And then Oprah says, "Oh, thank you, Prahlad. We do wish the best for your father and his brother, and we look forward to interviewing you next week on this show." So thank you for your indulgence. I hope there was not too much rasa vasa.
Beyond it.
Beyond rasa. Sometimes the hasya bhava is also appropriate. Okay. Yeah, so this is the vision of Prahlad, actually. This is what I wanted to say. And we, of course, are all aspiring to have similar vision as Prahlad in our lives. And this is the opportunity that we have. Our theme has been how the Lord, as Nrsimhadev, destroys obstacles on the path of devotion. And I dared to say yesterday that there are no obstacles on the path of devotion. And we see that on the level of Prahlad, that's certainly the case. For the rest of us, we might be feeling that there are obstacles. But we should understand that wherever we perceive obstacles on the path of devotion, what we're actually experiencing is Maya. It's Maya. Because in devotion, in bhakti, there are no obstacles. There is always a way to serve the Lord. Yeah. Do you want to add something to that?
Thank you very much for this last piece. Which you explained that there are no obstacles if we engage in devotional service. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wrote in a letter something which really struck home in my case. He said, "We are situated in the middle between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. We are not the saint always, nor are we the on the side of the demon. We are in the middle." Then he explains, "We show our attraction for devotional service. The next moment, however, we engage in material enjoyment. So we are not in one mind. One day, one time we are Krishna, 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 and again Maya, Maya, Maya." So what is the solution for such divided souls who are not clear? He says, "It is by the desire to serve the Lord that we can control the desire to enjoy the world." And this is exactly what Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj said. And I always believe it's good when we go to a festival to take something home. Many of you have said that you experienced a great joy in Krishna consciousness during yesterday and today's festival. But we will all go back, and maybe we will not always be able to maintain our Krishna conscious position, but again drift to the other side, the side of Mr. Pillow, Mr. Golden Pillow. That is possible. We are tatashta, we are marginal. That means we can be here, we can be there. If you want to protect your spiritual life and yourself, please desire to serve the Lord, because this desire can control the desire to enjoy the world. You may come back in the evening, and then you may say, "How will I end my day now?" That time, think of something you can do for pleasing Krishna, and then do it. We may not be always very good in controlling our dual nature, but what we can do as a jiva is one thing. We don't have always the opportunity to, let me say, to overcome our weaknesses. We may be so weak and the habits may be so strong, but the jiva has one little ability, one little freedom, one little gift which will never go. It can desire. It can desire the right thing. And if we desire the devotional service, we desire to become helpful in a greater mission than a mission to satisfy our lives, then really the scale will turn, and one day you will find yourself only on the Prahlad side, no longer encumbered or embarrassed by the Hiranyakashipu side of life. Thank you very much. You brought this out very, very nice. Let me now ask, what is next?
Now we're going to have a dance by Vaishnavaneshwari Mataji, and then afterwards we're going to have a student speaker.
I cannot hear you.
What?
And then go out at 7.
Okay, so we need to be fast. He said first there will be a dance,
a children,
followed by a children theater, and then Gaura Arati, and then more ecstasy. But you are very creative, Krishna says, Maharaj. Very creative. Thank you.
Crazy mind.
So what will we do? We have to clear the space.